This Chayisara begins with the mitzvah of Kfura. In every community they have a Chevra Kadisha, and the Chevra Kadishas usually have an annual Suda. They consider that a Suda's mitzvah. Whenever you do a Suda to be Mechazek a mitzvah, Chevra Kadisha is an uncomfortable job. So you have to be mechazik the mitzvah. Not everybody wants to join the Chevra Kadisha. This week is the yahrzeit of the 20th yahrzeit, Mr. Alberto Mehta. So his daughter, Natalia Mehta, requested that we should dedicate today's shir on the parsha, Lezecha Nishmasa, the covered the yahrzeit. So it just happens that the parsha speaks about Kvura. So very often the Chevra Kadisha has the suda on Zayin Adar. The yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu also happens to be the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu, and often the Chevra Kadisha would have the annual Sudas Mitzvah and Parshas Chayisar. This din of Kvura, the mitzvah of Kvura, in the Chumash, it only says explicitly in Chumash Dvarim Ki Yedish Chet Mishpat Mavis V'Humas. If a person deserved Misas Bezen and they punished him, so then it says Kavetik Brenim Bayamahu. In the Chumash, it only says explicitly Kvura by Haruge Bezen. But the pasuk says the kefalosh and kavatik berenu, and there's a machlokes hatanai whether we assume dibeter kedushan beni adam alad dibeter kedushan beni adam. Do we assume the chumash was dictated word for word, letter for letter, by Hakadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu? But the question is, when he dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, did he dictate it the way people speak, or did he dictate it in a more accurate way? Because people speak, people babble away, and they repeat themselves a lot, unnecessarily. So the question is, do you have the right to darshan l'shanes kvulim? When it says, kovetik b'renu, hanek tanek, nosen titin, basach tiftach, so we accept the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that lo dibetar kadushan b'ni adam, and therefore we always do darshan l'shanes kvulim. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has two braises that say practically, word for word, exactly the same, that one shouldn't think that the mitzvah kvure only applies to Haruge Bezdin, that's the only place where it says it in the Chumash, but it applies to all Mason because it says Kovatik Biranu, a Kefa Loshan. So you might be even Mason Mitos, a normal person who died from old age. So the Lecha Mishnah points out that the two Brises are one after the other. So around Mem Zaino, so in Sanhedrin, the middle of Sanhedrin. The two Brises are exactly the same word for word except for one expression. One Brises says, Remez Lekvura Menator Minayin. The other Brisa says, Kvura Melator Minayin. So the Lacha Mishnah says, it would appear that it's a Machloike Satanayim. Remez usually means, once in a while, Remez is also a Din Deraisa. But the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Ruba de Ruba, whenever the Gemara says Remez, it means that it's only an Asmachta, and it's only Midi Rabbonim. So that's what the Lacha Mishnah says, that the Ramam Paskins, that Kvura Beshar Mesem is Menatoira. But the Lacha Mishnah says, there's a problematic Rambam. It's interesting, where does the Rambam have Hilchas Ovel? The Rambam has everything in a fantastic Seder. The Gemara, everything is out of order. You have Masech HaShabbos, okay, it has all the Dinim of Shabbos, but there are a couple of Dinim of Shabbos that only appear in Sanhedrin, never appear in any other Masechta. Gittin, you have a whole Masech Gittin, a couple of Dinim of Gerishin that only appear in Gemara Yuma, never appears anywhere else. Taisus was nice enough to quote all the Gemaras from this. If you're not Gemara, but Taisus, you won't be missing out on the other. But the Gemaras are not in such a good order. So the Rambam took all the Gemaras and he put them in order. Fantastic. It's much easier to find something in the Rambam than it is to find it in the Gemara, unless you remember where it is in the Gemara. But if you don't remember where it is, easier is to find it in the Rambam because he put everything in a Seder. So the Rambam, where does the Rambam have Hilchos Avil? Right after Hilchos Sanhedrin. Why does it belong over there? So the Rambam himself explains why. Because in Hilchos Sanhedrin, he writes the Dinim of Dalet, Mises Bezen, in the original Pasuk of Kavetik Brenna Bayamahu, only says by Haruge Bezen. So the Gemara has a certain Shaila in Hilchos Kvura, and the Rambam Paskin is not like either. The Gemara had a Safik, is it A or B, and the Rambam Paskin C? Totally different. So the Lech Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. It's against the Gemara, says that Gemara had a sophic, is it A or B? The Gemara was working on the assumption that Kvura Bishar Mesim is only Midi Rabbanon, and the Rambam Paskin that it's Menat Torah. Where did you see that there's a Machloikas? Was there I said the Rabbanon? So the Lech Mishnah says that these two brises that are one after the other, exactly, word for word, exactly the same. The Gemara often quotes one brise after the other. One brise has something different from the other. Here's mamash, word for word, exactly the same. The only difference is, one brise says, Remez l'kvurim min ha-Torah, the other brise says, Menayin l'kvurim min ha-Torah. So that's the machlokes, where the kvurim b'sham esim is the raisa of the Rabbanim. Kvurim b'harugi besim, even if you hold like the Rambam, the kvurim b'sham esim, is also the raisa, not only b'harugi besim, but harugi besim, it's slightly different, because the din is, you're not allowed to bury tzaddik etel rosha, and you're not allowed to bury a rosha chomer etel rosha kal. The Gemara says, if someone is keeping track, how can he keep track? Theoretically, if someone's keeping track, we know that one person did 100 averis, the other person did 101 averis, you're not allowed to bury the two more next to each other. How can you keep track? You don't know what he's doing privately, you don't even know what he's doing in public. How can you keep track? But in principle, that's why the Mizrahi has their own cemetery, the Aguda has their own cemetery, and the Rakarta have their own cemetery, and each community has their own cemetery, because we assume all the people who belong to the same community probably do the same number of averis. So you're not allowed to bury Rosh Chomer, Eitz or Rosh Kal. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, we have a Hilchas Sogmiri law, we have an old tradition, the Halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's a question what that means, that the Niskolim and Nisrafim are buried together, and the Echnokim and the Harogim are buried together. Even though one is Mochamah than the other, Skila and Sreifa is a Machloikas HaTanaim, Rab Shimon and the Chacham, which is Mochamah? We assume Skila is Mochamah, Rab Shimon holds that Sreifa is Mochamah. And Chenek and Saif is also a Machloikas, Rab Shimon Abban, which is Mochamah? But one is Mochamah than the other. So nonetheless, the Mishnah says, you bury the Niskolim and Nisrafim together, and the Echnokim and the Harogim together. So that's in violation of the normal din of Ben Kovim Rosh Chomer Eitzel Rosh Kal, but here by Harugi Bezin it's a special din. You have to bury them in a special cemetery. Then the Gemara says also there's a special din by Harugi Bezin when someone is put to death by Saif. You don't save the Saif in case someone else in another 100 years will deserve Saif. You have to bury the Saif with him. Toch Dal Ramas. There's a din min haTorah. Dalai Lama is around the mace, is Tfusas HaMace, Tfusas HaKever. So Gemara says, Imo b'tfusasa, you don't bury the Saif. Let's say Chenik, he deserved Chenik, so they choked him to death. So the scarf, or the heavy scarf that they used to choke him to death, you have to bury that also, Toch Dalai Lama is of the mace. There's no such din by Shar Mason. So you see that there's a special din, Kvuras Haruge Bezdin, everyone agrees that's their Isa, that's a Pasuk and Chumash, and that's a special din. And Bishar Mesim, not Haruge Bezim, that's a Machloikas HaTanaim, what is their Isa, the Rabban? We assume it's their Isa. But it's not exactly the same as the regular din. So this week's Sedra has this din of Kvura. The Gemara says, what do you have to learn out from Kavah Tigberena, the Kefa Loshen, and it depends on the Machloikas, but it did the Torah Kedushan Me'odam. Once you learn out from the story of Avraham Avinu, the Chumash records the fact that Avraham Avinu buried Sarah. So it was written, that the Torah doesn't write biographies of the others, they only write what's relevant to teach us dinim. So if Avraham Avinu went out of his way to spend so much money to bury his wife, does that indicate, shouldn't we learn that that's the din? That there's a mitzvah of kvura? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe that was the minhag hamokom at that time. And there is a din derais of kavod ames. So kavod is always... In Yiddish, there's an expression, it's the kavod hamadumah. It's imaginary kavod. It's ridiculous. It's make-believe. But that's what kavod is. Kavod is all. It doesn't mean anything. Kavod is meaningless. But whatever people consider the kavod, so that's what you have to do for the mace. The marshal, we have a meaning that we do a tahara for a mace. All the inyanim of tahara, they're all minhagim. Nothing is a din. But whatever is the minig, so the Gemara says that you mechuyif to do. Because there's a din of kavod ames, and whatever the minig amakam is required. So maybe in the days of Avraham Avinu, that was the minig that they did kvur, so therefore Avraham Avinu was mukhif. But if you live in a generation where the people decided to do cremation, so maybe then cremation will be the mitzvah. So the Gemara said, no, you have to have a pasuk. You can't learn from Avraham Avinu. You have to have a pasuk, kavod tigbrenu, that you're not allowed to cremate a body. You have to bury. You have to bury the body. Avraham Avinu insisted, they offered him the Silikim, Atob B'Sachena, they offered him that they let him bury Sora in the most Bekovedik cemetery, and he said no, that there's a din of Kever Yisrael. Remember when we learned Gemara Sanhedrin, Rav Soloveitchik told us that the American government has a special cemetery for the soldiers who were killed in war. And they have Jewish people buried in the cemetery also. So he was once called upon by the federal government to write a letter to explain that according to Jewish law, you have to bury the Jews in a separate cemetery. So he wrote, it says in the Torah, it says in the Chumash, by Chai Yisara, the Jews are not allowed to be buried together with the non-Jews. We assume the Jews live differently, they're born differently, they live differently, they die differently, and they're buried differently. The Jew is different from the Goy from A to Z, from the beginning to the end. He said an expression from his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that there were long bridges and short bridges. I remember when we were touring in Poland, I think. So our tour guide had a good sense of humor. So we were once walking across a bridge from one place to the other. So she said, does anybody know this is the longest bridge in the world? It took 2 minutes to walk over the whole bridge. So she said, this is the longest bridge in the world. Anybody know? What's the riddle? So nobody knew. So she explained to us that this in that country, some part of Poland, I think of Belarus, they have the date line cuts through that bridge. So one side of the bridge is one day of the week and the other side of the bridge is a different day of the week. So it's the longest bridge in the world. When you cross the bridge from one side to the other, it's a different day. That was a joke. So we know there are long bridges and there are short bridges. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said an expression, it's impossible to build a bridge that's long enough to gap the distance between a Yehudi and a Nochri. The distance, you can't bridge the gap. It's totally different. For so many years, there was so much anti-Semitism in Europe before the emancipation. And they always said the Jews are crooks and the Jews are sick and they have every terrible thing, Ganovim, everything. The Jews are responsible for everything terrible in the world. So the Jews knew that it's not true. So we never lost our self-confidence. And we always held our heads high. And we always felt that we are the Aman Ifcha. That's what it says in the Chumash, the Jewish people are the Aman Ifcha. And when Napoleon wanted to conquer the whole world at that time, he wanted to conquer all of Europe. So there was a big dispute, and he wanted to emancipate the Jews. He was going to give freedom to the Jews. So there was a big debate among the tzaddikim, among the Chassidish Rabbeim, whether they should daven that Napoleon should win, so the Jews wouldn't have to suffer so much, or they should daven Napoleon should lose. So the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's Yodua, he was davening that Napoleon should lose the war, because he felt if Napoleon will win, and he'll promise he's going to give emancipation to the Jews won't know how to deal with that. They won't be able, if you give equal rights to the Jews and the non-Jews, so we're not different from anybody else. So then we're going to assimilate with the Goyim, and that's what happened. So there was a big machlokes, as you do, a big machlokes. So the Alter Rebbe had Chassidim and friends. They were Lubavitcher Chassidim and friends also. So he had them spy on the army to get all the secrets, what they're planning to do. And he gave all the secrets over to the Russian army so they should know in advance what the French are planning to do so that the French should lose the war. And the French found out about that. So they said they have to kill Schneerson. He's ruining the whole war effort. So they were chasing after the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and then they realized that he was in a certain village, Chaslavich. That's where Rav Soloveitchik was brought up, in Chaslavich. It was a Lubavitcher village, and he was running away from the French. They were trying to kill him. So the French surrounded the whole city. Rav Soloveitchik would tell over the whole story. And it's printed, the story is printed. So they surrounded the whole city in order to catch him, and they were going to go from house to house because they knew, realized he's in his city, going to go from house to house. Until they catch him, then we're going to kill him. So at that time, the rabbi in the village happened to be on Misnaget. Rav Soloveitchik said the name, but it didn't register by me, so I don't remember, but they have it printed in their storybooks. So the Chassidim and the Rav had learned in Volozhin. He's a real Misnaget, learned in Volozhin. So the Chassidim came to the Rav and they asked him, maybe he'll help out to save the Rebbe, maybe he'll hide the Rebbe in his basement, and when the French soldiers come knocking on the door, maybe he'll tell them a lie, that he doesn't know where the Rebbe is, he's not this, and maybe they'll believe him and they won't search the house. So he said, They didn't know whether he's going to go along because he was a misnagid. So he said he disagrees with the Rebbe about Hashkofa. He doesn't agree with the Chassidus, but he says he would never master a Jew to the Goyim because they wanted to kill him. So he said, you can hide him out at my house. So when the soldiers came, they went door to door, and the soldiers came to the rabbi's home, and they asked, do you know where Shniasin is? So he put on a holak and said, Shniasin? He's the biggest danger to the Jewish religion. Give me the man, I'll choke him with my own hands. Giving such a whole dramatic presentation. So the soldiers figured he can't be hiding over here. The rabbi says he'll choke him with his own hands. He's destroying Judaism. So they said, okay, we're looking for him. So he was in his basement. He was hiding there. So they looked through the whole city. They didn't find him. So after a couple of days, they left. So the Rebbe came out from hiding. So he just made a comment. Sometimes it's a mazel that in a Chassidish city you have a misnagdish rabbi. So from that time on, they had a tradition. The rabbis were always appointed. It was a Lubavitcher village. They always appointed rabbis from Volozhin. They always had a misnagdish rabbi. That's why Rabbi Soloveitchik's father functioned as the rabbi in that village. He had also learned in Volozhin. And there was a Yodua, there was a machlokes among the Chassidish Rebbes, whether they should pray that Napoleon should win the war or lose the war. So somehow the Rebbes all made up that whoever's going to blow shofar first on Rosh Hashanah, his prayers will be answered. So one of the Rebbes told the Chassidim, they're going to start davening early on Rosh Hashanah, they're going to leave out all the piyutim, they're going to daven quickly, everything quickly, they're going to cut out all the Mishnah Berachs because they have to blow shofar first. They wanted their prayer should be answered. And that Rebbe was in favor of Napoleon winning the war because he promised to give emancipation to the Jews. So, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he felt not so. He said, we have to pray Napoleon should lose the war. And he had his spies giving all the secret information from the French army to the Russians. So this other Chassidish Tzaddik, when he started davening early, he left out all the piyutim, they davened quickly and so on, no Mishnah Berachs, but he blew shofar, he felt in his heart that he lost already. Somehow he felt that the Lubavitcher Rebbe had already blown shofar first, which he had. So he met him a couple of months later and he asked him, I understand you must have blown shofar before me, because when we blew shofar, I felt in my heart that we lost the race already. How could you blow shofar? How could you daven so quickly? So the Alter Rebbe said he felt that it was so important. He told them they're blowing shofar before davening. Who says you have to wait till after Kriyas Atar? They blew shofar before Shachris because he felt that it's so important. So this was a big, the Alter Rebbe was right. Whenever the Jews have emancipation, the Gemara has such an expression at the end of the first parak in Chagiga, the Jews know how to deal with poverty. The Nisoyan Avani, they know how to deal with. The Nisoyan Avosha, they don't know how to deal with. So like the Jews come to America, everyone is created equal. Everybody has equal rights in America. So there are more Jews who are assimilating here than in Europe. In Europe, the Jews were always downtrodden, and they were always saying lies about them, that they're sick, and they're ganovim, and so on and so on. Everything, all the midas rose the Jews have. So the Jews knew it wasn't true. So they held their heads up high, and we felt we're the Yaman Ifcha. But if everybody is treated equally, everybody has respect for everybody else, then it's a big nisoyan. That's what many rabbanim said when the Jews came to America. The big nisayon is going to be that the Jews should maintain their independence and they should realize that we live differently. So that's what Avraham Avinu said. The Jews live differently, they die differently, they're buried differently. You have to have a separate Beis HaKvaros. You're not allowed to bury the Jews with the Nochri. In fact, it's very interesting. The Nochrim were created, B'Tzelem Alekim also, Al Pi Pashtus. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem, Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikru, Banim Lamokim. So the Pashat is that all the mankind was created, B'Tzelem Alekim. And Yisrael have a higher mila that we even have Banim Lamokim, but all the Yom B'Tzelem also have B'Tzelem Alekim. So since everybody has B'Tzelem Alekim, have to have Kavod Abrius. There's an Indian of Kavod Abrius. But by Yisrael, the Kavod Abrius continues to apply even after death. So that's why there's a mitzvah for it. By Yom HaSoilam, there is no din of Kavod Abrius. After the person dies, there's no more Tzelem Alekim. Tzelem Alekim is not the body. Tzelem Alekim is the Bechira Chavshis that man has. Once he's not alive, there's no more Tzelem Alekim. So why is it different by the Bnei Yisrael? Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole explanation that there is a b'raisa in Maseches Megillah, where the Brisa speaks about different religious articles that we have in the course of the year. You have talis and tefillin and mezuzah, shofar, lulav, esrog, whole bunch of things that we use to fulfill mitzvahs. So the Gemara divides them into two categories. Some of them are tashmishi mitzvah, some of them are tashmishi kedusha. So those are the tashmishi mitzvah, and esrog is hooked to the mitzvah on sukkahs. The hadasim are hooked to the mitzvah on sukkahs after you used it. If you didn't use it, it's hasman alav milsei. But once you use it, it's hooked to the mitzvah for the duration of sukkahs. But after sukkahs is over, strictly speaking, you can throw it in the garbage. But a mezuzah in the Sefer Torah and tefillin, or tefillin zekel, or the cover of the mezuzah, or the cardboard box that you cover the tefillin with, all of these are tashmishe kedusha. Either gufe kedusha or tashmishe kedusha. So even after it becomes so puzzled that it's impossible to correct it, it can't be machshered, the din is tashmishe kedusha on ignozim. You have to bury it in the shemus. But tashmishe mitzvah, lachas ma mitzvah, man is rocking, you throw it out in the garbage. Calls ma mitzvah, some it's hooked to the mitzvah side. We spoke about a little bit when we spoke about the fact that the Gemara Tosis has a whole discussion, not a lot of sleep in the shul. So what's the nature of the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses? Is it the Raisa the Rabbanon? And what is the nature? Is it a Tashmishe Mitzvah? The Ramban's opinion. Beis HaKnesses Tashmishe Mitzvah. It's a building that helps you daven better. So it's a thing that enables you to daven better. You can daven without the shul, but it helps you daven better. So it has the status of Tashmishe Mitzvah. But as soon as all the Jews leave the neighborhood, nobody davens in that shul anymore. So the Ramban holds that Minat Torah, the whole Kedusha vanishes into thin air. Like the Esrog after Sukkot is over, is no longer hooked on the mitzvah side. And the Rambam and the Ran and Megillah, the Ran and Megillah quotes this Ramban and he disagrees. And the Rambam and the Ran disagree. They say, no, it's a Migdash Meyat. The shul is not a Tashmisha mitzvah, it's a Tashmisha Kedusha. So how do you define the difference? How do the Tanaim know what belongs in this category, what belongs in that category? What's considered Tashmishe Mitzvah? What's considered Tashmishe Kedusha? So Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in the Nefesh HaChaim that Tashmishe Kedusha depends on having psukim from Tanakh written. To the extent that you have psukim written, to that extent it has Kedusha. Because the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all Kedusha. So that's why a Sefer Torah has more parshas than anything else. More parshas than the tefillin, more parshas than the mezuzah. So the Sefer Torah has the highest level of Kedusha. And the tefillin have more parshas than the mezuzah. The mezuzah only has Shema Ba'ayam Shema. Tefillin have Dalet parshas. So that's why tefillin have more Kedusha than mezuzah. And the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch has the din, that a Shal Rosh has more Kedusha than a Shal Yad, because a Shal Rosh has the two shins on the outside. Either one shin, we have two shins. So you have one letter or two letters more than the Shal Yad. So that's more Divrei Torah. So the Shal Rosh has more Kedusha. Now, Soloveitchik pointed out the Rambam, if you look in the Rambam towards the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Rambam is mashma, that if you'll find the Luchos Habris, the Luchos Shnius, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved, Ksav Yad Kotcha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Sefer Torah written this Sunday, they're going to complete a Sefer Torah here in honor of Joel Schreiber, the one who stepped down from being the chairman of the REITs board. So a Sefer Torah that's going to be completed on Sunday has more Kedusha than the Aseres HaDibros. But that's the Rebbeinu Shlomo engraved that. Rama said it doesn't matter. The Sefer Torah has the Aseres HaDibros plus more. So to the extent that you have Divrei Torah written, to that extent, you have Kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik went through all the different inyonim that have Kedusha, and he was explaining, where do you have Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, and the Luchas, that we understand, has Kedusha. You have Divrei Torah written. He said, let's say Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. So why does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? Well, you have Psukim written on the trees. So he said, what created the Kedusha Bishayna in the days of Yeshua ben Nun? In the days of Avraham Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people. Avraham Avinu was kind of Eretz Yisrael. Gomes alibars l'arka l'rach b'kilchoy t'nenu. He acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael. We never lost the ownership. But it didn't have Kedusha till the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So what created the Kedusha? The Gemara says the Kibush. And then the Chalukah, you needed, took 7 years Sheva Shekavshu, then 7 years Sheva Shechilku. So the Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush. So Rav Soloveitchik spoke in the auditorium in Lampel Ratam. So he, when he gave the Yortzeit Rosha, so he screamed out to the audience. He used to have audience participation. So he said, who did the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael? Who accomplished Kibush? Everybody screamed out. the Jewish army, Yoshua ben Nun's army. So he said, no, it says in Sefer Yoshua, the Oren Abris. Oren Abris was Naseh Lefneim, and the Oren Abris somehow knocked down miraculously all of the enemies. So the kibush of Eretz Yisrael was the Mikdash, and the kibush was accomplished by the Oren Abris, that they had the Shnei Luchas Abris, had the Eretz Adibris in it. So he said that was the Mikdash of Eretz Yisrael. But then we assume that during the 7 years of Golas Bavel, it was Batlo Kedusha Sa'aretz. So what accomplished the Kedusha Shnia? There was no kibush till the days of the Chashmonaim. There was no independent Jewish government. There was no kibush by the Jewish people. So what accomplished? So the Rambam says Chazoke. So what does it mean Chazoke? It's unclear. Rav Soloveitchik suggested perhaps what the idea is, the Gemara's comments on the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, that it says, on the occasion of Nespurim Kima Vikibla Yehudim Aleim Alzaram, to observe these 2 days, Yudalad Dezvav, to observe the Yontav HaPurim. So the Loshan HaPasuk Kima Vikiblu reminds one of Kabbalah Satera. So the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, Kima Vikiblu, Kima Mashikiblu Kvar. There was a second Kabbalah Satera. Why was there a need for a second Kabbalah Satera? They already said Nasim and Ishmael Har Sinai. So the Gemara says the Torah was given Bal Korchem. So they says, what do you mean Bal Korchem? They asked them. They said Nasim and Ishmael. They accepted it. So the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Noach, has a whole long essay on this question that Tosfos raises. Medrash Tanchuma answers, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked them the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do they want to accept the Torah? So they said Nasim and Ishmael. That's because he told them the Torah Shebichsav. The Duka, the Torah Shebichsav, it doesn't seem so complicated. Shabbos and Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, not so complicated. So they said Nasim and Ishmael. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, but we're not finished. There's a whole Torah Shebal Peh. And he starts telling him, there's Gemara with Tosfos, with Rambam, with Rashba, with Mishnah Brura, with Shulchan Aruch, with Darkei Tshuva, with so many Achroidim, Avnei Nezer, so many Torah Shebal Peh is no bounds. Aruchem Eretz Midah Aruchem. So Bnei Yisrael didn't want to accept the Torah Shebal Peh. So it was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas and the Torah Shebal Peh. So just 2 or 3 years before Bayi Sheni was built, Bayi Sheni was completed, right towards the end of the 7 years in Golas Bavel, that's when the Nes Purim occurred. And that's when Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah Shebal Peh. So that was one suggestion Rav Soloveitchik had. Maybe the Kedusha Shnia of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished, not through Torah, the Kedusha Vishayna was accomplished through Torah Shebichsav. Because the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished through the Oren Abris. Was no sale of name and knocked down the enemies miraculously. Maybe the Kedusha Shnia came about because the Jewish people accepted Beratz and the Torah Shebal Peh. The first time in HaSinai, it was Kafaleim Harke Gigas, the Torah Shebal Peh. And the second time around, they accepted Beratz. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe that's why Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. All the Noni Kedusha have to rest on the assumption that there's some Torah over there. Then Rav Soloveitchik spoke about the Beis HaMikdash. Well, you have psukim written on the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, no, the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed is referred to by the Chumash as Mishkan HaEdus. Why is Mishkan HaEdus? Because he had the Luchas HaEdus were there. So the main part of the Mishkan was the Luchas. So perhaps that's in the Bais Rishon also. The Beis HaMikdash has the Orim with the Luchas in it. So that's the source of the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. What about towards the end of the Bais Rishon, when it says in Dibra Yom, Yoshio HaMelech was Goynes, the Orim with the Luchas, in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Rambam explains that when David HaMelech gave the Ksav, HaKol B'Ksav B'Yad HaShem Alay HaSkil, when he gave the Ksav to Shlomo HaMelech, he got the Ksav from the Navi, the blueprint, how he's supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash. And Shlomo HaMelech saw to it that everything was built according to instructions. So included in that HaKol B'Ksav B'Yad HaShem Alay HaSkil was that there were two Mekoymis to have the Orim with the Luchas. When the time is correct, then you have it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when it's required to put it in the basement, then there's a special chamber in the basement to house the luchas. So the luchas were there. It wasn't that it wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash. That room in the basement was designated Melech HaTchila from the very outset, and that's where the luchas should be. What about in Bayi Sheni? Where were the luchas? So that's a machloikis in the Gemara. Machloikis HaTanam, historical machloikis. One time is of the opinion the luchas were in Golas Bavel. And the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah takes a stand on a historical machlokes. He says not only at the end of the Bayis Rishon period with the luchas in the basement, that says in Dibra Yomim, Yoshua HaMelech put it in the basement. But the whole Bayis Sheni, the Rambam takes a stand on the historical machlokes. Whole Bayis Sheni, the Luchos from the basement. Why does he take a stand on history and the Mishnah Torah? Mishnah Torah is all for halacha. What does he mix in history? What do he have to take a stand for? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Rambam understood that it's not only a historical machlokes, there's a little element of halacha involved also. Is it conceivable to have a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash if you don't have any Luchos? So the Rambam assumed that we pass on like that Tana. How do you know? That's a question. But the Rambam assumes we pass on like the Tana, that that's inconceivable. Not only the Mishkan is called Mishkan Ho'edus, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni have to house the Luchos. If you don't have Luchos, then there's no Torah Shebichsav there. So there's no reason that it should have Kedusha. The Rambam seems to say also in Hilchas Beis Hilchas Tefillah, when the Rambam has all the dinim of Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, so the Rambam doesn't agree with the Ramban that the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses is b'toras tashmishei mitzvah, like an esrig bizman mitzvah. So the Rambam writes the same as the Ran in Megillah, except that the Ran writes that the Beis HaKnesses is a migdish meyat, is only an asmachta midirabonon. So the whole Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is only midirabonon. And the Rambam seems to hold not so. The Rambam seems to hold that it's a migdish meyat, that's a Novi Yecheskel. Novi Yecheskel says he was prophesying before that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, the Jews will be sent into Golus Bavel, and despite the fact that they won't have the real big Beis HaMikdash, they'll have a Migdash Miyad, a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that's a reference to what the Kanesias of Bata Midrash Shebe Bavel. So the Ran says that that's not the real Pshat, that's only an Asmachta. And the Rambam seems to hold that it's really a Din Deraisa. Dusha's Beis HaKnesses is a real Din Deraisa. So the question is, why should the Beis HaKnesses have Kedusha? Where do you have Dibrei Torah? So from the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah is Mashma, that if you have a shul that's miyuchad for davening, but it doesn't have an Aron Kodesh with the Sefer Torah, it doesn't have a Kedusha Beis HaKnesses, just like in Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam seems told you have to have Luchas there. Without Luchas, without Torah Shebichsav of the Luchas, it won't have a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash. So too, a Beis HaKnesses, the Rambam seems to imply that if you don't have a Sefer Torah there, it wouldn't have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. For many years, I don't know what they do now, but many years, the Beis Medrash on the third floor in First Hall, there was an Aron Kodesh there, but it was empty. There was no Sefer Torah. I mean, it could be that now they daven there every day, so it could be that they have a Sefer Torah for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah. But for many years, they didn't have a Sefer Torah. The Ramo has a meaning that whenever there's no Sefer Torah, so when you say Tachni, you don't do Nefilas Apai. So we never did Nefilas Apai, except when Rabbi Soloveitchik was there, because his meaning was not like the Ramo. Others had the meaning that you do Nefilas Apai even if there's no Sefer Torah. Others have the meaning if there is Svarim. So the Beis Medrash is full of Svarim. So others have the meaning if there is Svarim, then you do Nefilas Apai. Rabbi Soloveitchik's meaning was that you do Nefilas Apai even when there's no Svarim at all. Even in an office building, you're doing a Tefillas Apayim. They told us that Rav Moshe Feinstein's practice would be that whenever there's no Sefer Torah, you don't say Tachnun at all. Because he felt that Tachnun without a Tefillas Apayim is worthless. And since the minig is that you don't do a Tefillas Apayim without a Sefer Torah, so he didn't say Tachnun at all. But that's we don't have that minig. We say Tachnun without a Tefillas Apayim. So all week long, when Rav Soloveitchik wasn't there, we would daven Mincha in the first Beis Medrash in 301, we wouldn't do Nefilas Apayim, but 2-3 days in the week, when Rabbi Soloveitchik was there, he did Nefilas Apayim. So everybody did Nefilas Apayim. So that was the riddle. How come the minig is that they only do Nefilas Apayim Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? And the Beis Medrash, the answer was, because those were the 3 days that Rabbi Soloveitchik was there. The rest of the week he wasn't there. It's not that Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday are different. Because when Rabbi Soloveitchik was there, so everybody followed his minig. So from the Rambam is mashma like that, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses only exists if you have a Sefer Torah. You don't have a Sefer Torah or not. There's such a little Tosis in Nozir also. A little Tosis has a comment on the Nagarita in Nozir. They give a distinction between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. They say Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha because it has a Sefer Torah, and Beis HaMedrash has Kedusha because you learn Torah Shebal Peh there. The Gemara in the end of Megillah has machlokes Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, which has a higher level of kedusha, a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash. So one could perhaps have said that maybe that's the machlekes, which is a higher level of kedusha, Torah shebichsava, Torah shebalpeh. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara said the machlekes is something else, that the Beis HaKnesses is miyuchad for tefillah, and the Beis HaMedrash is miyuchad for Torah. So which is more important, the tefillah or the Torah? But the way Tosis presents it, that the kedusha is Beis HaMedrash, flows from the fact that you learn Torah shebalpeh there, and kedusha Beis HaKnesses is because you have the sefer Torah in the Ohr HaKodesh. That's what Tosis writes. Sounds like that Rambam. So perhaps somewhere it says that that's the machlokes, whether which has a higher level of kedusha, Torah shebichsav, Torah shebalpeh. So then Rav Soloveitchik spoke also about kedusha Yisrael. We speak about a kedusha Yisrael. Why? Only the people who learn Torah. There are a lot of Jews that never learned the word of Torah, and they also have kedusha Yisrael. When the baby is born, he has kedusha Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik said that one of his favorite agadotas, he said that every darshan has his own favorite mamar chazal that he likes to dwell upon, that he likes to learn and discuss. So one of his favorite is the Agadah in Gemara Nida, that the Tanya starts with, the first line in the Tanya. He quotes Tanya Sof Per Gimel de Nida, that before the baby is born, the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTarakula, and then he slaps him before he's born, he should forget everything. So he spoke about that. So what does he engage in an act of futility? What does he teach him the Torah if he's going to slap him later on? So what does he waste his time to teach him? The answer is, it leaves a roshem. When he slaps him, the baby maybe forgets all the learning, but something does remain behind. That's the source of the Kedusha Yisrael, because the Malach teaches every Jewish baby Kol HaTarakula, the boys and the girls alike. The Malach teaches Kol HaTarakula, so that's the source of Kedusha Yisrael. So all in Yoni Kedusha come from the fact that there are divrei Torah there, either Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebalteh. So a Meis Akum is like a Tashmishe Mitzvah, Lachas Ma Mitzvah, and Kozman the Nochri is alive. If he's a decent Nochri, he's in fulfillment of the Sheva Mitzvah's Beninayah. So we have to have respect for him, Kavod Abrius, because he has Tzalim Alekim. But after he dies, so there's no more Tzalim Alekim, so there's no Mitzvah for it. Meisei Yisrael are not only Tashmishe Mitzvah, the Tashmishi Kedusha. Why? This part Rav Soloveitchik didn't say. He said everything up until here, he said. But it could be that they may say Yisrael have the status of Tashmishi Kedusha because we had the Rei Torah to begin with, because there was Kedusha Yisrael. So Tashmishi Kedusha, even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, the din is at Nigbar. So maybe that's the basis of this halacha. He suggested that perhaps it's Kitchel Osilava because of the fact that it's Torah Shebalpeh. But he didn't dwell on that to explain why that should be so. And that Rashi didn't. I added on my own that Rav Soloveitchik on another occasion said at Rasha that there's a contradiction between two Gemaras. There's one Gemara in Avodah Zarah. In the first parak in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara talks about some of the Haruge Malchus when the Romans were killing them. So one of the Tanoim was had a Sefer Torah in his lap and he was teaching Torah in public, and the Romans prohibited that. So they took the Tan and they rolled them up, they wrapped them up in the Sefer Torah and he burnt them alive. They burnt them alive with the Sefer Torah. So Tosis explains there in the Gemara, the Tana was, his eyes were looking all around. So the Talmidim were there, so he asked, what do you see? What are you looking at? Mataraya, so he says, he sees Yevil and Nisrafim, the Goyim has succeeded in burning the cloth of the Sefer Torah, but the Osius Parchas Bavir, the letters of the Torah are not, they're not succeeding in burning the letters of the Sefer Torah, the letters are going back up to heaven. Osius Parchas Bavir. So this is a problem, that Gemara, because there's another Gemara in the last Perek and Moed Katan, where the Gemara has all the dinim of Avelus, so the Gemara has the din of ripping Kriya. So the Gemara says, "Haroi Sefer Torah Shanisraf." If you see, if someone burns a Sefer Torah to be mevazet, if there was an accident and there was a fire, then you don't rip kriya. But if someone burnt the Sefer Torah to be mevazet the Torah, so the Gemara says, "Chayv lekriya shtei kriyas." You have to rip twice kriya, once on the cloth and once on the osius. So you see from the Gemara that when you burn a Sefer Torah to destroy it, the osius do get destroyed, and that's why you have to rip two kriyas, one kriya on the osius. So din and yore there, one kriya on the osius and one kriya on the cloth. So how can the Gemara say over here that he sees gvil and nisraf and osius parchas bavir? So Rav Soloveitchik gave one suggestion, so others give a different suggestion. When you see a Sefer Torah Shenisrap, that's Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is a tangible object. So the fire will consume the cloth, and the fire will consume the letters also. Everything will get destroyed. Tangible objects can be destroyed by fire. But when the Tana was teaching, he had the Sefer Torah in his lap when he was teaching, he was saying over Torah Shebal Peh. So they wrapped him in the Sefer Torah and they burnt him alive. And he says he sees osias parches ba'avir. Maybe he didn't refer to the osias of the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah they burnt, everything was burnt. He meant the osias of Torah Shebal Peh, because Torah Shebal Peh is not a tangible object. It belongs to the world of ideas. You can't destroy an idea. The ideas are floating in the air. So that's what it means, osias parches ba'avir, the Torah Shebal Peh can't be destroyed. So maybe that's the difference. The Kedusha B'Shoyla of Eretz Yisrael that was accomplished, Ayidei Torah Shebichsav. So Torah Shebichsav lends itself to destruction. It's a tangible object. So maybe that's why the Kedusha Rishayna of Eretz Yisrael that was accomplished in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun lent itself to Churban. When the Babylonian armies destroyed Eretz Yisrael, they took it away from the Jewish people. So the Churban canceled the Kedusha, just like one could destroy a Sefer Torah. But the Kedusha Shnei perhaps was based on the fact that the Jewish people accepted the Torah Shebal Peh, Kimo Likiblu. So Torah Shebal Peh belongs to the world of ideas, and it doesn't lend itself to destruction. So perhaps that's the reason why the Kedusha Shnei didn't lend itself to destruction. So they should just said, maybe that's the difference. Maybe since it was based on Torah Shebal Peh, it wasn't destroyed. But he didn't explain why it should be so. That was my suggestion. Anyway, that's the halacha. Jewish people live differently. And they die differently, and they're buried differently. Everything is different. It's a bizoyan ames of a Jewish mace to be buried in a Goyish cemetery. The Gemara has not only is it a din lachatchil, it's even a din b'diyeved. Let's say by mistake they buried a Jew in a Goyish cemetery. Even b'diyeved, you have to go remove the Jewish body and rebury him. Or if you buried a nochri in a Jewish cemetery, you have to separate them. You can't leave a nochri buried next to a Jew, even b'diyeved. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Abchaim was so insistent on that, he felt that there is a din that a Kohen is not allowed to be metamei l'meis unless it's one of the Zayin Karevim, or unless it's a meis mitzvah. So what's a meis mitzvah? So the Gemara has an example. A Kohen is going on the highway, nobody else with him, and he comes upon a meis Yisrael, a Jewish meis, and there's no one else to bury the meis. So if he's going to wait till he gets to the next village, it'll take another hour. And then he's going to tell the Chevra Kaddisha they should go. It will be the mace is mutl bebizoyin. So the din is the Kohen is permitted and obligated to be metami lemeis, to bury the mace. That's called the mace mitzvah, meishein lekover. So there was a dispute in the days of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. What if the Kohen happens to find out that there's a Jewish mace buried in the Goyish cemetery? And so you have to take the mace out and bury him somewhere else. Is that considered a mace mitzvah? He is buried. He's not mutl bebizoyin. The mace is buried, but he's buried in the Goyishin cemetery. So he said his grandfather, Abchaim, was of the opinion that that has the status of a mace mitzvah. And the Kohen is permitted and obligated to be metami to the mace, to remove him from the Beis HaKvarah Shel Anoch. And he said many other Gedolim disagreed. They thought that it's only called a mace mitzvah, mace ain't a kovrim, not buried at all. But that's much more bizoyim. But if he's buried in a Goyishin cemetery, that's less bizoyim. So that wouldn't constitute a mace mitzvah. But they agree that even b'diyeved, you have to remove the body. So that's a big issue when you give the Jewish people emancipation, and everybody's equal. And they're not saying that we're dirty and that we're diseased and that we're ganav. Everybody's equal. So it's much more difficult for the Jews to maintain their understanding that they are the Yama Nifcha. Everybody's treated equally. So that's why there's so much more assimilation if you live in a country where the Jews are emancipated. That's a problem. That's a problem in America, yeah. Rav Soloveitchik commented on the expression that Avraham Avinu says, what does he say? What does that mean? Rashi points out from the Medrash, Gevetosha are a contradiction. Ger means he's a stranger, Tosha means he's a citizen. So it's a contradiction. So Rashi gives one pshat from the Medrash. So Rav Soloveitchik used to have an idea. He used to say, the Jewish people in this world, on the one hand, we are gerim. We have totally different, we're born differently, we live differently, we die differently, we're buried, everything is totally different. The Jews are different from the Umas HaOlam. Everything is different. If different interests, different understanding of everything in the world. On the other hand, we are Toshavim. We have to help out in the world to solve all the problems of poverty and sickness and all the social problems, economic problems. You have to help out in the world. And the Jews do more than their share. The Jews are less than 1% of the world population, and they get more than 20% of the Nobel Awards. The Jews are doing an awful lot. We are very good Toshavim. My wife showed me years ago, about 20 years ago, she showed me on the internet, there was an essay written by an Arab who's upset about why the Arabs are becoming suicide bombers. He said, who commits suicide? A person who feels that life is not worth living, that his life is a waste. He said, why don't we do like the Israelis? Why don't we use our brains and come up with cancer cures and technological advances, and we'll get Nobel Awards? Those people in Israel, they're smart. We have brains also. Why don't we use our brains the same way the Jews do in Eretz Yisrael? Suicide, committing suicide, is a person who has no use for his life. He feels that he's worthless. Why do we feel that we're worthless? We should do like the Jews do things. The Jews do a lot. We are gerim etoshavim. We are gerim etoshavim. We are toshavim and mili de'alma. We are gerim and ruchnias digger things. We have a different perspective on everything in the world. Why did Avraham Avinu insist on paying for this, for the plot? Ephraim wanted to give him a matana. So the Gemara has an expression, in Perkei Shnoichanan, the Gemara has an expression about Kvura. Nim tzatzadikovu bekevashenu shalo. The Gemara considers that abizoyan ames. If a person is buried in a plot that doesn't belong to him, it's more bekovadik, it's more bekovad ames if it belongs to him. And they say, you should pay money for it. If you don't pay money for it, even though they gave it to you, but matana, it's yours, but it's not full ownership. Full ownership is if you pay money. So that's what he paid money. The Gemara, the opening Mishnah in Kiddushin says that the Harisha Niknis, Bekesef, or Bishtar, or Bibiya, the three ways to make Kiddushin. And the Rambam writes, Kesef, the Rambam learns Pshat and the Gemara like that. There's a long Kesef Mishnah there. The Rambam says, Kiddushi Kesef is only known through Torah Shabbat Peh. But Kiddushi Shtan, Kiddushi Bia is Torah Shabbat Chsav. And nonetheless, the Rambam writes, Kranoga called this other Kaddish Bekesef. The meaning by the Orthodox Jews is that we use Kiddushi Kesef. How do you know such a thing, Kiddushi Kesef? Where's the Torah Shabbat Peh? So the Gemara says on the first daf in Kiddushin, Kicha, Kicha, Misdei Ephron. You learn it out from the fact that Orav Amina, Vayikach, Kalartza Miyodai. And there it says, Kiga Chishisha Chadosha. So it's a Gzereshava or a Mamatzina, whatever. Kicha Kicha Mizdeyefim. So the Maskilim used to make fun of the rabbis, that the rabbis view getting married like the farmer buys a wife, just like he buys a field. So the man is Mikadosh Anisha. He pays money to the father, he pays money to the woman, and he buys a wife. So they used to make fun of the rabbis. Why they learn out Kicha Kicha Mizdeyefim? So Rabbi Simpson, Raphael Hirsch, has in one of his essays, I don't know if it's in commentary on the Chumash, but he has it in one of his other books. So he says, no, the rabbis wanted to learn out Kich Kich and Mr. Ephron, that everyone should respect their wives just like Avraham Avinu respected his wife. Even after she died, he spent a fortune of money to buy the most bekovedik cemetery, most bekovedik place to bury her. Certainly while she was alive, he respected her. That's why they wanted to learn out Kicha Kicha Mizdeyefim. Yeah, it's not that the person owns his wife. In fact, there's a machlokes that in Chosha Mishpat, machlokes to Sma in the Taz, that karka is niknas bekesef. If you want to buy someone else's house or someone else's farm, a field, so you pay money, karka niknas bekesef, b'shtar rav chazak, any one of the three kinyon. So what is kinyon kesef all about? So that's a machlokes, the Taz and the Sma. So I think the Sma is the standard commentary on the Chosha Mishpat. You have the Sma's on the inside, the Shach is on the outside, and the Taz is on the bottom of the page. So I think the Sma writes over there that Kinyan Kesef is you pay Kesef piron. You pay how much the karka is worth, and then the karka belongs to you. Yeah, but what if the karka is worth $1 million and the Mishnah karka is nicknames by pruta b'shaver pruta? What do you mean the karka is worth a pruta? So he says, no, that's only if it's zokafala b'milveh. Or it has to be the beginning of the piron. The kesef that you give has to be given b'toris piron de mehamekach. That's why you own it. So that's why the maskila made fun of the fact that we learn how kicha kicha Mr. Ephron. They thought that when you buy karka, it's nicknamed the kesef, it's kesef piron. You're paying for the value of the karka. And over here, you're paying for the wife, and she belongs to you. So the Taz says, that's ridiculous. Taz basically said, what do you mean? Kinyan kesef by kiddushin doesn't mean you own your wife. There's no chalois kinyan. There's even a machlekes, as the Rebbe we spoke about, is there a kinyan isa on the wife? That's machlekes of the Pnei Yeshua and the Avni Meluim. And in the Sefer Marcheshes, he points out, Marcheshes was a dayan in Vilna, same time as Rab Chaim Moiser, Rab Penach Egis. He was older than Rab Chaim Moiser, and he outlived him. He was born before and he died after him. So he learned by the Beis HaLevi. He writes in the introduction to his Tshuvas, he's not used to this new style of learning where they analyze everything, but has a lot of analysis also. He's from the old school, he writes. His Tshuvas up in the old style, but they're very, very beautiful Tshuvas. The great guy, Rab Soloveitchik, used to say over once in a while things from the Marcheshes. So he points out that famous machlokes between the Pnei Yeshua and the Avni Miluim, whether the husband has a kinyan isa on his wife or he has no kinyan at all, just issues. There's no kinyan isa, there's no kinyamam and nothing. He points out that it's a machlokes in the Yerushalmi, in Yevamos, in the beginning of Yevamos. Interesting. But her husband certainly has no kinyan mamon on his wife. He doesn't own his wife. So the Taz says, Taz doesn't talk about the maskilim attacking the rabbis, but he points out the whole thing is a mistake. By kinyan karka, it's kesef kinyan, just a symbolic act. You give money, the karka is worth millions, and you pay one pruta, so you kind of the karka. The money that you give is not peteras piron de mehamekach. V'harai from kiddushin, if it's piron de mehamekach, so what do you mean? You're paying the value of the woman. The woman is either priceless or worthless, but she's not worth a shava pruta. In other words, usually they're priceless. The wife is priceless, but it's not shaveh pruta. We really assume like that kinyan kesef by karka is not kesef piron, it's kesef kinyan, just a symbolic act. Right after the description of burying Sarah, so the Torah says that Yitzchak Avinu was still single. So Avram Avinu arranged that he should get a shidduch. So that's why every year Rabbi Goldberg speaks on Parshat Chayisara about what to look for in a shidduch. What did Eliezer look for? So the Drosha Saran has a famous Drosha on Parshas Chayisara. That's the same Ran that we have on the Rif. They thought for many years a different person, that they realize it's the same Ran. So the Drosha Saran explains that you're not supposed to look for brilliance, you have to look for Midas Tavis. Because the boy and the girl are brought up in different homes and different backgrounds. Sometimes you have a Sephardi marries an Ashkenazi. Whatever, there are always differences. The boys' home and the girls' home are differences. So if the people are not Bali Midas, they're always going to insist that their way is the correct way. They won't want to compromise, to give in. You shouldn't compromise on Shmiras HaMitzvahs, that you don't compromise on, but you have to compromise on how you eat and how you dress and how you act and how you speak. That you have to blend in together. So if the person is not going to be a Bali Midas, so he won't be interested in compromising and making shalom bayis with his spouse. So that's what Eliezer was looking for. He's going to ask the girl for a drink, hakminiyah me'atmai mi'kadech, and if the girl will offer gam negmalecha ashke, hihu isha asher hachech Hashem leben Adoni, that's going to be the right girl. He was looking for midas tovus. It's interesting that Drosh HaSaran discusses, Rambam writes based on Midrashim that Avraham Avinu The Medrash has the comment when Avram moved to Eretz Yisrael, the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, he brought with him a nefesh asher osu b'choron. What does that mean? So Pasha Pshat means the slaves, they had slavery at that time. All the slaves that he had purchased in Choron. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash a different interpretation. Why is it called a nefesh asher osu if they purchased the slaves? I mean, a nefesh asher osu, Avram is megayeres or anoshim, Zorah megayeres as anoshim. When you begayer a non-Jew, a nachri, it's as if you created a new person. And Rashi quotes the expression from the Medrash that even if all the world scientists get together, they can't create a little ant, they can't create an animal. And here, when you help to get a nachri to convert to become a Yisrael, he gets a new neshama. He gets a different neshama. The neshamas of an Yisrael, amitachas kisi al-kobin, the neshamas of an umasodim are totally different. When a person is megayer, it's gershon, it's got cotton chanel adam. It's like a baby is born anew. It gets a new neshama. So that's called a nefesh hasher osu b'choron, as if he created new people. So the Rambam writes, must be a medrash like that. There were alofim urevavis. They had tens of thousands of followers. Avraham Avinu traveled all over, and he was always preaching monotheism, had tens of thousands of followers. So why did he want Eliezer to go back to Aram Naharayim, to his family? His family were of the Avodah Zarah. They worshipped Avodah Zarah. Why didn't they make a shidduch for Yitzchak from HaNefesh HaShor Asa B'choron, from all of the tens of thousands of followers that he had? So the Ran in the Drosha has an interesting comment that the Kenainim, whom he had influence on, the Nochem that he had influence on, they didn't have good midas. Somehow he assumes that the midas taibas go over, that's part of your DNA. I don't know if we assume like that today. The midas go over as part of the DNA. Our people work on themselves. So he wanted Dafke Eliezer should go to his family. His family had midas tovus, but they didn't have deus tovus. They were the Avodah Zarah. So it's easier to work on deus than it is to work on midas. To straighten on midas is more difficult. So that's what he didn't want. From all of the tens of thousands of followers that he had, he had Eliezer swear he's Dafkan going to go to Aram Naharayim to get a girl who will, he'll convince her of monotheism, but the girl has midas tovus in her DNA. If the girl will not, so Eliezer says, Ulai Savisha Lalecha Sacharai, Hoshev Hoshev is Bincha, should I bring Yitzchak over there? If the girl won't agree to come, so he says, no, don't. So what's he going to do for the Shidduch? What's he going to do? So it means then he'll marry one of the girls is Jewish from the followers of Avraham Avinu. But l'chatchili, he wants Dafke, a girl who's going to be a balas midas tovus. It doesn't mean that you marry an ugly girl. You want to have a good-looking girl, you want to have a bright girl, an intelligent girl, especially a ben Torah who wants to be have dikdukim and chumras and midas chasidus. You have to have a girl who's intelligent enough to understand what the dikdukim and the midas tovus are that you want. So you have to look for that too. But the main thing you have to look for in a shidduch is midas tovus. That's famous when Rabbi Chaim Oizer's first wife was the granddaughter of Rabbi Saul Salanta. So when he got engaged, so they corresponded. They didn't meet each other, they corresponded. But I think Rabbi Saul Salanta passed away before they got married. So Rabbi Saul Salanta sent a letter to Rabbi Chaim Oizer that's famous. He wrote in the letter, it says in the Chumash that the father says, "Es biten esati l'ish hazeh." The main thing is he has to be a mensch. Rabbi Saul Salanta was the founder of the Muslim movement. So he says the main thing has to be an ish. The main thing has to be a mensch. They told me that Rabbi Chaim Oizer knows how to learn very well. He's not so excited about the learning. He's more excited. They told me Rabbi Chaim Oizer was a very decent, moral individual, quite a mensch. So that's the main thing. Then if he happens to be a Talmid Chacham, that's nosav al kach. But the main thing, a person has to be a mensch. You have to have midas tovus. That's the comment that the Kedusha Slaver of Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva has a comment. We may have mentioned it recently. How come the Chumash doesn't describe the way Avraham and Sarah met? How come it only describes the Shidduch of Yitzchak and the Shidduch of Yankev and the Shidduch of Moshe Rabbeinu? Avraham Avinu was the first of the others. How come it doesn't describe his shidduch? So Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcheva says the Chumash is not a history book, a biography of big tzaddikim. Chumash only tells you things that are relevant for us. So the Chumash tells you about the Kvura. Gemara says we learn out that there's a chiyuv to be mekaber. The Baal said, the husband said a hesped, you learn out in Shulchan Aruch, the husband is mechiyev to deliver a hesped. When the wife dies, the husband has to spend a lot of money to be mechaber his wife. He's mechiyev and kvura sishn, and so you learn out dinim. What's it going to write about how Avram Avinu met Sarah? He wasn't Jewish and she wasn't Jewish. They probably met at a New Year's Eve party. They were goyim at the time, so there's nothing to learn out from the way they got married. But Yitzchak Avinu, he had a Jewish shidduch. Eliezer went for a Jewish shidduch, and he gave Sarah Mishkalom. He was implying to Rivka that there's going to be a Seres Adibris and there's going to be a Kabbalah Satura, and your husband and you are going to be from the Ovis and Nemos. That's what the Shidduch was all about. And Yaakov was a Torah Dika Shidduch, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a Torah Dika Shidduch. But Avram Avinu Shidduch was not. He became Jewish later. He became a monotheist later in life. So that's why the Chumash doesn't describe the marriage of Avram Avinu. It's interesting, I remember when I was dating, so one of the Rebbe's, a lot of the Rebbe's always used to, whenever they owed a debt of gratitude to anybody, so they used to send me to take out their daughters. So I went out with a lot of girls before I met my wife. So I remember one of the Rebbe's was telling me that in the Sefer Hasidim, I think I checked it up, I think I once saw it inside, Sefer Hasidim points out that when Eliezer is presenting the suggestion to Rivka's family, so he says, tell me, and if you don't agree to the shidduch, the efna al yamin or al smol, I'll go somewhere else to get a shidduch for Yitzchak. So the Sefer Hasidim points out, you see from the pasuk, the Torah writes that, to teach us the lesson, that if the girl doesn't agree to marry you, you don't chase after the girl. If she says no, it's no, and you go and marry someone else. Now it's a whole style that the girl has to say no, then you keep on chasing after her till she agrees. It's a silly thing, because later on in life she's going to say, you chased after me, so you always have to give in to, I didn't want to marry you. You kept on pressuring me, so you have to give in to me. So that's what the Chumash tells us. The girl says no is no, goodbye and good luck, and I'll take out someone, I'll marry somebody else. When Avraham Avinu wanted to make sure that Yitzchak shouldn't marry Benois Canaan, so he had Eliezer swear to him, Simna Yotra Tachas Yirechi. What is that all about? So the Gemara in Shavuah says, when you have Shavuah Sadayonim, when you have a Shavuah Deraisim, whether it's a Mikzah, Shavuah Sashayimim, a Shavuah Seidechot, whenever you have a Shavuah Deraisim, you have to have a Shavuah Benekitas Chayfetz. What constitutes Benekitas Chayfetz? Either you hold the Sefer Torah, you put your hand on a Bible. That's where it comes from. The din, you put your hand on a Bible, that's only by a shvua. There is no such din that Edom have to swear that they're going to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. There is no such din. But that says in Shulchan Aruch that the Rif, who lived in Fez, Rabbi Nitzel Galfazi, lived in Fez, in North Africa, in Morocco, so he introduced that minhag, that when you have Edom who come to testify, you should give them a Sefer Torah, they should put their hand on the Bible and swear they're going to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. Mi'ikar din, you don't need a shvua for Edom. You only need a shvua for Madim Mikzas or Shavuos HaShomer. But that was the minhag. Tosis, right? Tosis has a raya from the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin. If you have an aide who's only kosher lehoid if he's going to swear that he's telling you the truth, then the aidus is not acceptable. Aidus is only kosher if he doesn't have to swear. If the only time he has no manas, if he swears, then he's not kosher. But that was the minhag that they introduced. You put your hand on a Bible and you swear to tell the truth. So when you take a shvuah, the Shavuos HaDayanim has to be as chomer as possible. So Avraham Avinu felt this is very serious. This is negate to the whole future of the establishing of Klal Yisrael. He was told they're going to be Gimel Ovos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov. And Yitzchak has to marry the right girl who can function as one of the Imohais. So that's why he wanted Eliezer to swear B'Nikitas Chayf. It should be a more serious. It wasn't a Shavuos HaDayanim, but the reason why he wanted Nikitas Chayf is that it should be more serious. In the days of Avraham Avinu, they didn't have tefillin. They didn't have a Sefer Torah. The only mitzvah he had was a bris milah. So he said, Simen Oyot Chatachos Yirechi. So it's as if he's holding on to the bris milah. That was a Nikitas Chayfet. So in later generations, when the Bezin wants to administer a Shavuot Deraisa, you have to make it as chomer as possible. The Shavuot Benikitas Chayfet is considered more chomer. There's a Ran on a Dorim, a Maseches and Dorim. The Ran took over the whole Masechta. So the Ran on the Dorim quotes an opinion, he says, we don't accept it, halacha l'maaseh, but he quotes a view from the days of the Goyim, that if a person took a shvuah b'nikitas chaytek, the shvuah is not going to eat potato chips, he's not going to go to the Chagas Micha on Sunday, whatever, he takes a shvuah. So if he took a shvuah b'nikitas chayfis, it's al pidin, a different category of a shvuah, ein lo ha-torba, ein lo ha-forum. If the girl took a shvuah, her husband or her father can't be made for it, and if an individual, another person took a shvuah b'nikitas chayfis, he can't make a ha-toras nendorm. So he said, we don't paskin like that. But they understood it from, and they talk about a shvuah b'nikitas chayfis aseres adibros. Apparently people used to walk around with a locket, I think today a lot of people do like that. Today a lot of people have a cloth that they have k'toris written on it. The Pashto says that it doesn't have a din of Torah Shebichzav. Unless you write a Sefer Sholem, it's considered Baal Peh. You have to write the whole Chumash Bereishis, the whole Chumash, you have to write the whole Chamish Chumash Yedor, you have to have a whole Sefer Sholem. If you write less than a Sefer Sholem, that's not called Mitar Chaksav. So in the Gemara it says, if it's a balabos who's taking the shvuas moedim mikzas, has to put his hand, either hold the Sefer Torah, or put his hand on the Bible and swear. A real Sefer Torah, not a printed Bible. And not the Gospels. A real Sefer Torah. And if it's a Talmud Chacham, so Talmud Chacham knows that the tefillah is also serious business. So it's called the Kitas Chayfetz, but Talmud Chacham is good enough if it's tefillah. But by a balabos, not a Talmud Chacham, you shouldn't have him swear Benekita's Chavis of Tefillin should insist Dafkan having a Sefer Torah. So the Ran quotes in the Goinim this idea that we don't accept La Locha, that if you hold on to Aseres Adibrois, that's called Nikita's Chavis. Very surprising. Al Pidin, it should be like a printed Chumash. Aseres Adibrois is meaningless. He's not holding on to the Luchas Habris. He's talking about Aseres Adibrois. It's written on a piece of paper, a piece of parchment. That has the status of Shvuah b'nikitas chayfetz, v'ein l'hafor, v'ein l'hator. Anyway, we don't paskan like that. But the Gemara learns out the din of nikitas chayfetz from this parasha. I remember when I was in high school, we used to have a teacher who taught Tanakh, Dr. Breyer. His son is now the Biyana Rebbe. He used to live in the neighborhood. He was Biyana Rebbe in Eretz, who was brought up here in Washington Heights. So his father, Dr. Breyer, married the daughter of the Biyana Rebbe. So his son is the grandson of the previous Biyana Rebbe. So I remember I once asked him, my father had a chumash at home. I don't have this. My father had a chumash at home that had the Bartunura's commentary in the back, Amar Noka. I have it in a separate sefer now. So Amar Noka means Tzemanoki. It's an expression in Daniel, I think. Amar Noka is Tzemanoki. It's a commentary on Pirish Rashi al Torah. Like we have the Sifse Chachamim, or the Mizrahi, or the Goraya. So the Bartanura wrote a commentary. Every so often he has something very interesting. He has on the Pasuk in today's Sedra, when Lavan ran out, he saw, how does it say? When Lavan saw Kirosa Sanezer and Satzmid Magideach Oso, he heard the whole story. So he runs out to meet Eliezer and he says, Anochi Penisi Abayis HaMakom LeGmalim, please come and stay by us. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Anochi, out of respect for Anochi Hashem Elokecho, I clean out the house from Avodah Zarah. It's a Medrash. So how did the Medrash see that in the Pasuk? Anochi Penisi Abayis means I clean out the house. How does he know? It means out of respect for Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I removed all the Avodah Zarah so he can come and stay by us. So the Bartanura says, because there are two words, Ani and Anochi. Anochi is Losh in the Keva. But Lavan was a Zohar. So why does he say Anochi? So it must be because Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Bishvil Anochi, that's by Penisi. I said, remember, I asked Dr. Breyer, Anochi is Losh in the Keva. I never heard of that. So he said he never heard of it either. Still don't know what it means. Anochi is Losh in the Keva. Women say Anochi and men say Ani. Don't know. Then they clinch the Shidduch and he says, Ve'Hashem Yotza Hadover. So the Gemara has the comment that Zivugim Amin HaShamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines before the baby is born. Bas Plani L'Plani, before the baby is born. Who's going to marry whom? So the Gemara says, it appears, the Gemara Moed Katan says, this idea that Zivugim HaMin HaShemayim appears in the Torah, over here appears in Nevi'im, and appears in Ksuvim. So the Rambam and the Shemayna Prokim, the Rambam has a Pirish HaMishnayis, and by way of Hakdomet, the Pirish HaMishnayis on Pirkei Avos, he has an essay that has 8 chapters. So they didn't have a better name for it, so they call it the Shemayna Prokim LaRambam. The 8 chapters, it's a Hakdomet to the Pirish HaMishnayis on Pirkei Avos. So the Rambam writes there, that no such thing as Zivugim in HaShemayim, because if you marry the right girl, she's going to help you grow in Avodas Hashem. And Shmiras HaMitzvah, if you marry the wrong girl, she'll pull you down. So this is, everybody has Bechiru Chavshis, Bipeleon HaSeitzi HaRoes VaHatoiv. Kodesh Boch is not Gezer on us that we should do mitzvah, we should do Averis. He tells us all the mitzvahs, and we have full Bechiru Chavshis to choose to marry, we can choose to marry the right girl or the wrong girl. This is our choice. But it can't be Min HaShemayim. If they'll see to it that I marry the right girl, then they're helping me do mitzvahs min hashamayim. If they see to it I marry the wrong girl, so they're causing me to do averus. So Rabbi Yankev Emden has her oris printed on the bottom of the page. You look in the big editions of it, the Vilna edition of the Talmud Bavli. So they have Pirkei Avos, and they have the Maseches Avodah Zarah. And they have the Akdamas HaRambam, the Shemana Perok. And then they have in the bottom of the page, here and there, a line or two from Rabbi Yankev Emden. Rabbi Yankev Emden says, how can the Rambam say against the Gemara? Gemara said the Ferish, that Zivugim HaMin HaShemayim. So the answer is, the Gemara says, in the first half in Saita, the Gemara says that Zivugim HaMin HaShemayim, that's only Zivig Rishon. But Zivig Sheni, that's Bechira Chavshus. So what's Zivig Rishon? What's Zivig Sheni? What did the Rambam write? The Rambam writes that Zivugim HaNat Min HaShemayim, should have said that's only Zivig Sheni. So the Meiri on that daf, the first daf in Saita, the Meiri says Zivig Rishon means when the children get married at a very young age. The boy is just 13 years old, and the girl is younger than him. So what do they know about life? So those Zivugim HaMin HaShemayim. But if you get married after the age of 18, 19, 20, 25, 26, whatever, the Rambam got married later in life. So that's called Zivig Sheni, even though it's your first wife. That's called Zivig Sheni. So the Rambam apparently understood the Gemara also like that. So most of the people today, people don't get married so young, not the boys and not the girls. All of us are really Zivik Sheni. So that's why the Rambam says that all the Shiduchim are not, the Shiduchim are not Min HaShemayim. Because everybody today is a Zivik Sheni. It's interesting. In Shulchan Aruch, the minig is that there are two parts to the marriage ceremony. There's Erisin and then Nisuin. Erisin, the girl becomes an Eshishish, but she loves a Beis Habal. And Nisuin, she changes. It's Achnosa, but she was Habal. Erisin, the two Masechta, there's Kiddushin and there's Ksubas. So Kiddushin is all about Erisin. Kiddushin, the same thing as Erisin. And Nisuin is Chuppah. So Masechta's Ksubas is all about Nisuin. So how do you do Nisuin? You do Achnosa, the Beshus. How do you do Achnosa, the Beshus? So the different opinions. It's very unclear in the Gemara. So the Rambam's opinion is that you need the Yichud HaRoi Lebiya, either Biya or Yichud HaRoi Lebiya. Some other Rishonim say Badekin. Some other Rishonim say the Mordechai. It's quoted in Yeridei. At the end of Yeridei, they have a Simen. In Hilchas Avelus, they have a din. What's the din? The Gemara, beginning of Ksubas, has a whole discussion. If Meis Aviv Shalchas and Ema Shalkala right before the Chuppah, so what do you do? How do you deal with the funeral, with the shiva, with the simchas chasam akal? So there's a whole sim in the end of Yeridei about that. So there, the Dogal Mervava, that's the Horus printed on the side of the page, written by the Nodi Yehuda, the Dogal Mervava discusses a little bit this opinion, that the Badekin is a form of Nisun. We do many things that because we're not sure what constitutes Nisuin. So we stand under the canopy, that's one opinion, that's Nisuin. Then there's another opinion to put a talus over the Chasen Kalam. Many Svardim do that, and the Yekas still do that. The one opinion, Farasta Kanafecha Alam Asecha, that's a Megillah Shus, says like that, that's the Nisuin. And others hold like the Rambam, and others hold when you go home. That's what the Vilna Gaon Paskim, when you go home, that's the Nisuin. So others assume the Badekin is Mishum Tznius. In the end of the Parsha, it says that when Eliezer brings back Rivka to Eretz Yisrael, and she sees Yitzchak from a distance, she says, who's that? And he says, that's your husband. That's the chassan that you just got married to. So it says, "Vatika chatzoif atiskos." So she covered her face. So that's mishum tznius, mishum tznius. And others say no. The Mordechai says that the badekin should be done by the chassan, and that constitutes the nisun. Different opinions what badekin is all about. The last couple of weddings that I attended recently, the chazkala kissed under the chuppah that they picked up from the goyim. We don't kiss. You don't kiss your wife in public. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's not right. You're not allowed to show signs of affection for your wife. That's based on the Gemara in Baba Basra. In the end of Perek Cheskes Habatim, towards the end, it says Rabbi Barno'o was in charge. You have to make tzion on Beis HaKvaros. You have to put up signs so Kohanim will know where they're not allowed to go. Where is there a cemetery? They may not realize that this is a cemetery. They'll walk in and they'll be metame lemeis. So you have to make tzion on the Beis HaKvaros. So the Gemara says Rabbi Barno'o was mitzayin the Beis HaKvaros of the Moris HaMachpelah. So the Gemara says that when he went in to find out where Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are buried, so Avram and Sarah were very lovey-dovey with each other, and they said, hey, we better cut this out. There's somebody here in the room. So that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that it's not proper, even for a married couple, to demonstrate their affection for each other in public. They should do it privately. I remember there was once a couple. We were at someone else's wedding, and this couple had just gotten married, and they were kissing, hugging each other in the halls. So people went over to them, and they said, it's not derech eretz. Said, no, we're married, everything is okay. Now, I remember a year later, there was the husband had smicha from the yeshiva. He was a character. The wife is also a character. So they were at a rabbinical alumni conference, and the woman was nursing her baby at the table. She put the little napkin, cloth napkin, and she's nursing the baby at the table. I'm a shugana. So later on, they got divorced. They're not normal. With such affection for his life. I never kissed my wife in public, and I'm still not divorced. I'm still married by my over 55 years, Baruch Hashem. But that's the Gemara said that's not right. In Europe, they used to say when the Jews started kissing under the chuppah, they used to say that le'enei kol Yisrael, that's the end of the Torah, that's the last word in the Chumash. If you kiss in public in front of everybody, that's the end of the Torah, that's the end of the whole religion. That was the Yiddish expression that said le'enei kol Yisrael is the end of the whole Torah. It's not proper, that's terrible. So when Rivka was about to leave her family and to go to Eretz Yisrael to her husband, so they gave her a blessing. So they said, "Achoseinu atayili alfei revova." You should have a lot of children. You should have a big family. That was the bracha that they gave. So this is when a young girl gets married. If a woman is remarrying at the age of 75 because her first husband died, so you don't give her a blessing, atayili alfei revova. And you get married under tachas hakachavim. The Rambam quotes such a minig, and some interpret that it's in the Yerushalmi, that minig, to get married outside, tachas kippus harakiyah, in order to invoke the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu. So if it's a young girl getting married, we give her the bracha, she should have a big family. So the minig is you get married outside. If it's a couple getting married at the age of 65, and a woman's not going to have any more babies, so then you don't get married outside, you get married inside. So this is the minig, the Rambam said, minig is when you go to do the badekin, then the Rabbanim should go along, and the Rabbanim should give the bracha to the kala, atayili alfei, she should have a lot of children. The Dogam Levava, by the Nodi Behuda, has the oris at the end of Yeridaya there. I mentioned this many years ago. I remember in Yeshiva Takotel, this was over 35 years ago. Shiva Takotel, so they were starting in Chedush Elul. They were starting Maseches Ksuba. So they asked me to give an introductory Shir Pticha. So I spoke about what Nisun is all about, the different opinions. So I said the Dogam Levava says, and I quoted Dogam Levava. So 15 years later, I meet a person in the Golan, in Yeshiva Tagolan, and he says, where's that Dogam Levava? Who? What Dogma Vav? What are you talking about? He said, 15 years ago, he heard me give a shiur. He's looking for the Dogma Vav. He was looking at Ebenezer. He thought it was going to be an Ebenezer about Badekin. So I said, no, it's in Yeridaya. In Hilchas Avelus, when it says about Mesav of Shalchas Vim Shalkala, so there's an important Dogma Vav there who speaks about the Badekin. So he says, in some parts of Europe, the meaning was that the Chosin didn't do the Badekin, the Rabbanim did the Badekin. So by some Chassidim, the Chosin doesn't even go to the Badekin. The Rabbanim go and the Rabbanim do the Badekin. So how can that be? But if you hold Badekin is the Nisun, so the Dogma Vav says the Rabbanim are functioning as Shluchim of the Chosin to do the Nisun on his behalf. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was not happy about, Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke about that Dogma Vav. That's why you speak about everything. Yishayin and Machrayin spoke about Gemaras, spoke about everything, Tanakh, Chumash, Siddur. You had to say what to say about everything. So he had a comment. He didn't think that Dogma Vav was correct. He had a whole argument that Kiddushin can be done al yidei Shliach. That's the opening Mishnah in the second parak in Kiddushin. But the whole argument that you can't make a Shliach to do Nisuin. You can only do a Shliach when you need Das. And a whole argument, a whole presentation that Nisuin doesn't need Das, a discussion in Achrenim about that. So he didn't like that. He thought that the Chosin has to do the Badekin himself. In fact, usually what you have is the Kala's mother standing next to the Kala, and when the Chosin comes, so the Kala's mother does the Badekin. She takes the veil from behind the head and then she puts it over, and the Chosin doesn't know what he's doing over there. Soloveitchik would always say, no, the Chosin has to do it all by himself. You shouldn't help him. Can't help the Chosin. The Chosin has to do it because he held that he can't do Ayde Shliach. They make a big fuss about that. Soloveitchik would sometimes also insist that you should have Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar on the Badekin. Why? Because there's this opinion that quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that the Ramah quotes the opinion, that the Badekin is the Nisuin. And there's a Dion in Achreinim, seems to be a Machlekes, the Ramah and the Ravid, where they need Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar for Nisuin or only for Kiddushin. So if you put two and two together, if you hold Badekin is the Nisuin, that's one of the opinions. All that you need Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar for Nisuin, then you should really have Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar for Badekin. So you always have Eidim, always kosher Eidim, but they're apostle Eidim also. So the meaning is, the Shachan Chosh Mishpat quotes the Ritva, the in Kiddushin, that the meaning is that you're Miyachad Eidim. You're Miyachad Eidim, because if you don't single out two kosher Eidim, then there's a question of Nimtzech and Eidim Kar apostle. So even the kosher Eidim should be apostle. So we always have, we single out two Eidim, and they have in mind to separate themselves from the apostle Eidim. Soloveitchik, when he first came to America, he spoke English like a foreigner. He didn't speak English like an American. So he formulated a way of saying, so he said, the Chosin should designate these two Eidim to the exclusion of all others. So people misunderstood what he said. They told Rav Moshe Feinstein that there is no such thing. You can't exclude the others. What do you mean to the exclusion of all others? He didn't mean everybody else's puzzle Eidim exclude. The two kosher Eidim should exclude themselves from the other. They should have in mind not to be mitzaref with the psulim. That's what Tosfos says on the Gemara. Lemechse asiso la'asude asiso. The Eidim k'sheim should have in mind not to be mitzaref with the psulim. Rabbi Soloveitchik said it in such a funny way. He spoke English based on the dictionary. So to the exclusion of all others, he meant they're excluding themselves. And it doesn't mean that the others are not Eidim. The others are also good Eidim. Mikra din, the Pashto says, you don't need Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar for Nisuin. We're always makbid that we do have. We have Eidus Yichud, because the Rambam's opinion is that the Yichud is the Nisuin. So we're makbid to have Eidus Yichud. But Mikra din, you probably don't need. So it's really a chumra on top of a chumra. To require Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar for the Badekin is a chumra on top of a chumra. So most of the time, Rav Soloveitchik would not be miyachad Eidim for the Badekin. Once in a while, he would. I think for educational purposes, he wanted the Talmidim. If he saw Talmidim and Yeshiva boys were there, they should know that there's an issue. But Mikra Adin, you probably don't need. In fact, when he first came to America, there used to be the one who used to give smicha to those who learned in Lubavitch, used to be Rabbi Pekarsky. Rabbi Pekarsky lived in Queens. He passed away many years ago. He was a very big Talmud Chacham. So he told me this story. That when he first came to America, so he attended a wedding, and Rabbi Soloveitchik was Masadi Kedushin. So under the chuppah, they announced who are going to be the Eidei Yichud. They announced who the Eidei Yichud are going to be. So he walked over to Rabbi Soloveitchik after the chuppah, and he said, What do you need Eidei Yichud for? Hein hein Eidei Yichud, hein hein Eidei Bia. Why is going to be Mekadosh B'Bia? What do you need Eidei Yichud? But there's no such thing. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you need Eidei Slikim Adav Yichud. Said it doesn't say anywhere. He was a big bucky. He was many times on a Din Torah. So the Din in Shulchan Aruch is based on the Yerushalmi that after Reuben and Shimon, the two parties present their arguments, so the Dayan has to review it to make sure that he understood it. So he says, let's get it clear. Your claim is X, Y, Z, and his response is A, B, C. So he reviewed what he said, what he said. Then he said, if you want, I'll tell you word for word what you said. So he said, it's not necessary. He had a photographic memory. He was able to say over word for word. So he tells Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you need Eidei Slikim Adav for the Yichud. Said it doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say in any sefer. So Rabbi Soloveitchik called him up the next day. He didn't know who he was. He had just come to America at that time. So someone told him his name. So he got the name wrong. He thought his name was Petrokovsky. His name is Pekarsky. Someone told him how to get him on the phone. He said, hello, Rabbi Petrokovsky. So he said, my name is Pekarsky, yeah. So he says, I couldn't sleep all night last night. You told me it doesn't say anywhere. So I could have sworn that it's in Shulchan. He looked. He stayed up. I couldn't find it. You're right. It doesn't say anywhere. So he says, from now on, his family tradition is that they always are miyachad edim for Yichud. That's the common practice of Eidei Yichud. But he says, since the Taka doesn't say, the Mikra Adin, the Pashta says that you don't need. So he said, from now on, he's not going to announce it under the chuppah. He's going to make a compromise. They'll require Eidei Yichud, but he won't announce it under the chuppah. Yeah, now it's not common. And nobody announces now under the chuppah who the Eidei Yichud are. But Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice used to be used to announce it also. In the end of the Sedra, the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu performed Bris Milah on the Bnei Keturah. The Bnei Keturah were not Jewish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Ki b'Yitzchak yikor l'chazera. Only Yitzchak is going to carry over the tradition of Kedushas Yisrael. And Yitzchak Avinu had two sons, twins, Yankov and Esav. Only B'Yitzchak, Eloi Kol Yitzchak. Only Yankov had Kedushas Yisrael. Esav did not have Kedushas Yisrael. Yankov Avinu was mitos shlema, means all of his children were Jewish. And from that time on, after the days of Yankov Avinu, it's always mitos shlema. By Lubavitch, they use the expression mitos shlema, means all of the children married Lubavitch. They didn't intermarry. That's called by them mitos shlema. By us means all your children are Jewish. Okay, so that was only, that began from Yankov Avinu, it was mitos shlema. So the Gemara says on this, the Gemara points out that Avraham Avinu was Ma'al all of Bnei Keturah, so there's a Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, what that means. So Rashi says, the seven or eight children that Keturah had, he was Ma'al, because they were his children, but they're descendants, they don't have to be Ma'al later on, they're not Jewish, but they were the children of Avraham Avinu, so he had a high Rosh Hashanah, he has to be Ma'alim. And the Rambam understood in the Gemara, now, so Rambam understood Bnei Keturah throughout all the generations have to continue performing Bris Milah. Now we don't know which Arabs are the Bnei Keturah, which are the other Arabs. So that's why the Rambam writes, Misafik, all the Arabs who may possibly be Bnei Keturah have to be Mal themselves. But if they won't be Mal, they won't be Chayv Misa. Apparently from the Rambam, if you know you're from the Bnei Keturah, you're not Mal, you're Chayv Misa. If the Benoich violates any of the Shevet Mitzvah, it's Chayv Misa. But here, if he violates Shevet Mitzvah, if he does Gzela, if he does Ritzicha, if he eats Eben Chai, he does an Avera. But if he doesn't fulfill a mitzvah, it's also Chai Misa. Achidush and the Rambam. The Rambam writes the same regarding Shechem. Shimon v'Levi wiped out the whole city Shechem. Why did they kill everybody in Shechem? So the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, because they violated the mitzvah of Dinim. The mitzvah of Dinim requires that you have to put up Bati Dinim by the Bnei Noach, one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and they have to see to it that the courts bring people to justice if they violate an Avera. So here, Shechem ben Hamor raped a girl, Dina. So he deserved an Anish Misa. Nobody in the city punished him. So the Rambam says they were all Chai Misa because they violated the mitzvah of Dinim. So the Ramban al HaTorah quotes the Rambam, and he says he disagrees. Azurasim zui misasim, the Bnei Noach deserve an Einish Misa if they violate an Avera, but not if they fail to perform a mitzvah. The Rambam writes the same over here by Bnei Keturah. that if you would know that you're from Bnei Keturin, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah Mila, then you're Chayiv Misa. But since it's a Tarubis, it's a Sofik, the Sofik, the Vashas Lahokal, they don't get the death penalty. Shagasari has a tshuva where he writes, it's not, Shagasari's tshuvas are essays, nobody asked him the Shailas. So he writes, he doesn't accept that Rambam. He said, it doesn't make any sense. What the Bnei Noach are not Chayiv, they're not Chayiv in more than seven mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu was the father, he was b'chayiv to be Mal Bnei Keturin. But the Lidoris, generation after generation, even if you know that you're a descendant of the Bnei Keturin, he thinks that the Rambam is not right, he thinks that Rashi Pshat is more correct. This week's Haftorah, the Gemara points out in Sanhedrin in the second Perek that there's a Pasuk. The Gemara counts the words in the Pasuk. There are 13 words in the Pasuk. The Gemara gives a significance to that number 13. Why there are 13 words in the Pasuk? So in Ebenezer, they discuss the spelling of names. When you, it's in Hilchas Gittin. It's the same shot in Hilchas Ksubah. When you fill out a Ksubah, so let's say a person has a name, China. A man's name is Charles, or Leslie, whatever. Hebrew names, Avraham Yitzchak Yankiv, Tzvi, Aryeh. So we know how to spell it. You look in Tanakh, it's a Hebrew name. But if it's a Yiddish name, or a French name, or a Spanish name, so how do you write down Hebrew? So they have Shemus Gittin, they tell you how to spell it. So there's a big deal in Achronim. I have a granddaughter, his name is Basheva. So how do you spell Basheva? Is it one word or is it two words? You have an empty space in between and on. So the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchas Shemus Gittin talks about it. So they bring the Raya from that Gemara that the Pasuk really has 13 words if you count Basheva as one word. But if you count it as two words, then it's really 14 words. So they think based on that Gemara that the name Basheva should really be written without a space in between. I don't know, is it really such an ironclad Raya? Maybe it's, since it's the name of a person, it's only counted as one word, but really it's Bas and Sheva. Maybe you still have a space in between, but that's the meaning. You write it without a space in between. So when my granddaughter will get married, we'll have to write the ksuva properly. Okay. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Who's the guest in Yeshiva this Shabbos? You put up the sign yet? Who? Oh, interesting. Okay. Very good.